My predecessors in a former church was a very large man. And when they would ask him, "Do you like fried chicken?" he would say, "No, I like fried chickens." I thought about that response some years ago when I met the man who headed the Kentucky Temperance League, of the Baptist Kentucky Temperance League. And he went around the state of Kentucky preaching against the evils of alcohol. And on the one hand, his message was one of temperance. On the other hand, he weighed about a donut or two over 400 pounds. And so even as he was talking about temperance, his body cried out the fact he knew nothing about the subject. He would never touch a beer. He would never drink a glass of wine. But he had traded one form of potentially immoderate behavior for an avowedly immoderate behavior. For every glass of beer he hadn't drunk, he had eaten two fried chickens. He talked about temperance, but he really knew nothing about the virtue as it's understood in Christian life. But don't judge unless you're willing to be judged. I was researching this topic of temperance some years ago. It was a Friday night. I had grilled some shrimp and some fish, and I had a glass of tea. I was in my backyard, and I was reading an article on temperance. And suddenly, I started laughing at myself. And I prayed half in jest, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." Now, if you're an observer, you're looking, you see the shrimp, you see the fish, you see the glass of iced tea, you see the article. What's amiss? I knew what was amiss. It was a Friday night. Friday nights were always reserved for my family. They were always reserved for a time of no work. I put my books away, and here I was allowing my work to intrude upon this sacrosanct and sacred time. No less than that man, the Kentucky Temperance League, I was violating temperance by reading an article on temperance at a time I should have been enjoying with my family. The virtue of temperance is more of a challenge than we might realize. Temperance is not abstinence from alcohol. In fact, temperance is not abstinence from anything. Temperance in the Christian virtue is an understanding of how we enjoy all of God's gifts in moderation: our food, our drink, our exercise, our love, our hobbies, our work. But it's more than that. It's more than just simply exercising things in moderation. It is a matter of striking a healthy balance in every aspect of our lives. Temperance is not simply curbing your appetites or repressing your urges. Temperance is about structuring your life in such a way that you put your appetite, your ambitions, your activities in perfect balance. It's creating a symmetry so that everything you eat and drink and play and love, every hobby, every work, even worship, is all held in balance, in symmetry. That's the first part of the Christian understanding of temperance. It means a structure that creates a harmony in our life. And if you have created that harmony, the second part of temperance flows out of it. If everything in our life, what we eat, what we drink, how we love, how we play, how we work, how we worship, if everything is in symmetry, then out of our life flows a serenity. We experience a serenity in our souls, and that serenity evinces itself in peace. We as Christians are meant to bring peace into the world, but how can we bring peace if we do not have peace within ourselves? Temperance calls us to create a harmonious structure in our lives that we can experience serenity in, within, that flows out in a peace into the world that the world so desperately needs. If we experience serenity and that evinces itself in peace, then we become instruments of peace in a world that so badly needs it. Now, the question. How does temperance bring us closer to God? That is exactly the wrong way to approach it. It's not that practicing temperance brings it closer to God. It's rather the closer we are to God, the more temperance comes to characterize our being. What do I mean by that? If everything you enjoy in life is seen as a gift of God's grace, if every talent, every experience, every blessing you recognize it's a gift of God's grace, that produces in you a reverence that produces wonder. Think about your beloved. Think about your spouse or your best friend. That person is a gift of grace. If you see them as a gift of grace, you reverence them. And out of that reverence flows a gift of wonder. A wonder that expresses itself in a gratitude. So too, in your work, if you see your work as a gift of grace, you know that it recognizes and eventuates in God. And if it comes from God, then it flows out in a sense of gratitude. You are privileged to do what you do. Well, did any of y'all have any pantyhose we could stick it back in there to? It's been done before. If everything about our life is seen as God's gift, if every aspect of our life is recognized as an expression of grace, what that means is that we produce a reverence that eventuates in a wonder and means everything is pure. Everything is pure to the pure. But if your approach to life is, this is my life, I can live it any way I want to, these are my talents, these are my blessings, I can use them any way I want to, you can corrupt virtually anything. Your love, your life, your work, even your worship. Some of us can get so involved in our work and in our service to God that it's actually distancing us from God. And even our worship becomes something that distorts and disfigures us. If it's separated from our relationship with God, anything can distort us. Anything can disrupt us. Thomas Aquinas was a genius, great Catholic theologian, and he made this observation. Our powers of ordering temperance can easily upset our spirit because they belong to the essence of our humanity. Listen to that statement again. Our powers for ordering temperance can easily disrupt our spirit because it belongs to the essence of our humanity. What is he saying? He's saying this. What makes us human are our appetites, our ambitions, our passion. Our passion for things is what separates us from all other creatures. It's what makes us fully human, fully alive. But when those appetites, when those ambitions, when those passions become out of focus, rather than us ruling them, they rule us. Think about the key allegiances of your life. Are there not times in your life where those allegiances rule you rather than you rule them? Think about your passions. Are there not times when they become out of focus, out of balance, and they distort and disfigure you? The very passions and appetites and ambitions that make us who we are can get so out of balance that they actually disfigure and distort who we're meant to be. However, said Aquinas, there is, in fact, a way to tap the virtue of temperance in all aspects of life, and it's a very simple way. Habit. Habit. Part of creating a holy life is creating positive habits. And if you're trying to structure your life in such a way that your appetites and ambitions and activities are in proper balance, the only way you can do that is through a series of gradual habits. If you want to eat more vegetables and less candy bars, you have to structure that. If you want to exercise more, watch less TV, you have to structure that. If you want to spend less time at work and more time with your family, you have to structure that. Habit. Something as simple as creating positive habits allow us to tap the virtue of temperance. And that temperance is rooted in a spiritual gift. Self-control. Self-control. My sister would kill me if she knew I was telling this story. But when she was in junior high school, what she wanted to, more than anything else, was to be a cheerleader. She went to tryouts. She did great. They called out her name, and she walked across the gym to be with her friends who had already made the team. And then suddenly, the lady said, "Oops, I made a mistake. It's not Karen Krimmer, but Karen Kramer." And my sister had to walk away from her celebrating friends back across to the group who hadn't made it. And as she walked, she crossed paths with a girl who had made it. And keeping her composure, she reached out and gave that girl a congratulatory hug, and then walked back to the other place with a sense of dignity. Now, when she got home, she cried for hours. And she determined that next time she would be so good they'd have to select her. And as a sophomore, she made the high school team, and by the time she was a senior, she was captain of the cheerleaders. But what people remember most about her was how she handled that humiliating event. In fact, some years later, I ran across a letter that the girl who made it had written my sister. And the letter said, "I made the team, but you won everyone's respect. I don't think anyone could have done what you did with the kind of courage and grace that you showed." Sometimes temperance is just a matter of being rooted in the spiritual gift of self-control. I close with a final image. After yet another storm came breezing through our campsite Friday night, we had fired up the fire. And about late at night, the youth, they wanted to go out into the field, and I went out there with them. And the youth were doing this crazy game where they'd look up at a star, and then they'd turn in circles, and somebody would flash a flashlight at them, and they would drunkenly stagger around until they fell, giggling in a heap. That was all right.
I forget what they called that game, but anyway.
Meanwhile, I was watching the fireflies light up the black mountain across the meadow. And I was watching the shafts of moonlight that came through the clouds, just tinging the meadow with light. And over and above their giggling, I could hear the incessant gurgling of the river that runs by our campsite. And a phrase came to mind. I have peace like a river. I have peace like a river. I have peace like a river in my soul. When we are able to put our lives in symmetry, when we're able to balance all of our appetites, all of our ambitions, all of our activities, when we're able to take our passions and keep them in perspective, we experience serenity that pours forth in peace, peace in our soul that flows out into a world that needs it. The virtue of temperance is not just for us, but the world cries out for the benefits of the fruit of the Spirit. If only we can tap it and live it with integrity. May we pray together. God of grace and goodness, give us the ability to balance our lives, to see us as you see us. Give us the ability to put all of our passions, everything we love, everything we worship, everything we work at, everything we cherish, may we put it in balance as we seek to serve you. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.